Blog Talk.
Hey, this is Chris Walker with EvangelismCoach.org, and we're glad that you're choosing to join us here with our expert interview here on Thursday, the 4th of June, 2009. I'm your host, Chris Walker of EvangelismCoach.org, broadcasting live from my home studio here in the home office of Evangelism Coach International. And we've got a fantastic show today. I'll be talking with blogger and author Yvonne Prenn from her office about an ebook that she's written on how to get church visitors to fill out a connection card. Now, from the surveys that I have done with the EvangelismCoach.org audience, I know that this is a huge challenge. And so I also know from my audience that there are small churches that struggle with this, as well as large churches that struggle with the same issue. And so this is what I'm hoping to bring, a solution for you today. And so we'll be taking your calls and questions in the various segments as we move along in this show. Now, to call in, you can use the following number, which is 347-637-1296. And then when you want to ask a question, you can press 1, and that will kind of raise your hand on my switchboard. I'll be notified that you're there in the queue with a question, and I will recognize you in turn. If you're listening via your computer, then you can simply use the click-to-talk button at the Blog Talk Radio page, and I will also be notified that you are in the queue. And kind of how we'll do this today is that we have the show broken down into particular segments, and in between the segments, we'll kind of open it up for some questions related to that segment. Now, first, let me introduce myself. I am a blogger and conference speaker and an author focused on personal evangelism as well as church growth. I've done seminars and events in 9 different countries, all in the Americas, from Alaska to Chile. And I've spoken before probably a couple thousand people over the course of that time in 2 different languages. I run a ministry called EvangelismCoach.org, which is a blog and a bookstore and a place where I just put my thoughts because I want to help the church find its passion for communicating its faith. Now, a flagship personal evangelism course is called Fear-Free Evangelism, which is all focused on evangelism and cooperation with the Holy Spirit. I've also written a download ebook on First Impressions Ministry that you can get online at welcomechurchvisitors.com. And from selling a few hundred copies of that since I launched it in November, people have been asking me all sorts of questions about making a good first impression, but also specifically how to get visitors to fill out contact information so that churches can do the follow-up work. And so that's how I came across Yvonne and her particular book that I want to introduce you to today. And so, Yvonne, I hope you're still there. I hope I haven't lost you.
I'm here.
Awesome. Well, welcome. Thanks for joining me today. I can see in our chat room that we've got probably a good number of people that are sitting here with us today to listen in on our conversation. And I want to thank you for being willing to take the time this afternoon to answer some of the questions that I've got and allow us to kind of peek into your book on connection cards. But first off, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to my particular audience, because I found you not too long ago, but my audience hasn't had a chance to get to know a little bit about you.
All righty, I'd love to do that. I often introduce myself as a writer and a teacher for Jesus. I have been involved in church communications work for over 20 years. I started out doing a lot of things in Colorado Springs, where my father settled after retiring in the U.S. out of the U.S. military, which many folks did, and it was a great place for a Christian writer to grow up. I worked with a number of the Christian organizations there. I was senior editor for Compassion International and also for Young Life International. And when I was at Young Life, that's when desktop publishing was invented. So this kind of tells you how long I've been doing this. We originally did things the old-fashioned way with paste up and layout and had the complete in-house print shop. And I did work with all sorts of churches and organizations and things like that on helping them communicate more effectively, creating newsletters and brochures and every imaginable kind of publication. Well, not long after desktop publishing was invented, the Christian world went through a lot of scandals way back when, and giving dropped, and we had to shut down the entire in-house communications department of Young Life. And I went out on my own and started teaching churches and Christian ministries how to do communications work. And that's what I've done ever since then. I travel. My travels are primarily in North America. I have given up to 90 seminars a year, seeing just thousands and thousands of people in churches, and I've written a lot of books and articles. I'm the desktop publishing columnist for Christian Computing Magazine, and I've written a number of books on layout and design and writing and all sorts of things like that. I'm married to a bivocational pastor, and the work that we do in church communications is a lot more than theory to me. I actually put it to work, and many of the things that I talk about, and especially some of the stuff on connection cards, it's things that we found very helpful in our ministry. My ministry is called Effective Church Communications, and my website is effectivechurchcom.com, and on there I have all sorts of videos and audio files and tips and all sorts of things to help church communicators, the way I put it, fully fulfill the Great Commission. And what I mean by that is I want in your communications for you to be able to help people come to know Jesus as Savior and then grow to maturity in their Christian lives. That's what's important. I do teach design and all that sort of thing, but what stuff looks like doesn't really matter at all if it doesn't connect people to the Lord. So that's what I'm doing. I was so excited that Chris contacted me. I can't encourage you enough to go onto his website. He's got great stuff on evangelism, and now we're going to sort of take it to the next step of once you get them inside the church door, how do you connect with them from there? So hope that tells you where I'm coming from.
Oh, certainly. Well, I took the time to kind of read the book, and your book's available for purchase there on your website. And as I spent the time reading it over the week, I realized just how many questions are answered in your book with regards to this particular process. And so I'm glad that you were open to talking about your book with me for a little bit today. And then what we'll do is we'll kind of walk through a couple of different segments of your book, and then we'll have a time for Q&A at that point if some folks have questions. This is a new medium for me. I've not tried Blog Talk Radio before, and so we'll see what happens with the part of the Q&A. And so let's just start at the beginning. What are these little things called connection cards? I mean, I've seen in all the churches that I've been in, I've seen various different ways to gather visitor contact information. And so what are these things for connection cards, and how can we start to use them in our ministry?
Well, connection cards, they come in many, many different forms. Some people use a tear-off. Some people use what's called a friendship pad. Some people have a separate little card. Whatever it is that you use to get people to give you information. You see, the thing that is so tricky in churches today, especially, you can have the greatest multimedia, you can have a phenomenal sermon, you can do all the right things as far as PR and marketing and all that goes, but if people do not give you their name, address, email, phone number, you don't know they're there. And you might have a great follow-up program, but how do you get it started? So anything that you use to get that information falls under this category. Now, Chris, you're going to have to tell me how you want me to talk about this. Do you want me to jump right in to tell people what doesn't work on it?
Well, for now, with the connection card, would you use them both in your primary worship services, but would you use them at all your other different meetings as well, or primarily
yes,
for your primary worship services?
All of the above. And in the book, I really go into detail on this because for most people where you use them, it's in your primary worship service. But my husband and I have found them to be extraordinarily effective in all of our ministry situations, everything from small home Bible studies to single adult ministry. My husband and I have done quite a lot with single adult ministry over the years, everything from small groups to for quite a number of years we had a group of around 300 in size, and we used a form of the connection cards every single week. And if anybody's out there listening who is a church planter, let me tell you, if you use these effectively, it is one of the best tools you have for growing your church, for growing a home church. We've used them in all those settings and have found them to be very, very successful.
So you've used them even in a home church when you've got approximately,
yeah,
for instance, say maybe 20 people gathered around a meal,
yeah,
or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the obvious point is that this triggers any kind of assimilation process. This triggers any kind of visitor follow-up process. Is it good only for visitors, or is it good for regular members to fill this out as well?
We have found that, you know, both, all of the above, but for different reasons, and we can go into as much detail as you'd like, and I have great detail, you know, in the book on this, but for visitors, you use them in one way, but to jump ahead for people that are attending regularly, we have found them to be an extremely powerful pastoral tool, and the reason is, and especially, and we recently did this in a home church type setting for a good while. You, even if you have, say, a small group, everyone would love to talk to the leader, in this case, my husband and myself, but there's no way, even with 15, 20 people, that you can touch base with each person, find out their needs, their concerns, the pastoral, just all of the things that are going on with them. But we found with the connection card that not only were we able to collect information of first-time visitors and whatever, but we always had a very lengthy section where we asked people to give us their prayer requests for the week. And they knew that we would be praying for them. And so this was a way to really have dialogue with our people. And again, like I say, we've done this with very large groups, smaller groups, whatever. But it helped us know, as the pastors and teachers, what our people were thinking, if they had questions, if there was a personal difficulty or tragedy going on in their life, whatever it was, this was our lifeline back and forth, and worked very, very well that way.
So it wasn't just for the visitors, but it was a good way to get an insight into the people that you were currently pastoring or currently leading.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
Now, the question that comes to my mind is that from my particular audience and the survey that I've done with my website audience, they're expressing a giant sense of frustration that they can't get the information out of visitors. So why do you think that a lot of churches are not experiencing success with a connection card?
I can tell you exactly. There's different areas that this is in, and we can cover them one by one. But first of all, and I'll just give you the three key ones, and then we can go over them in more detail. First of all, people have them in an incorrect format. That's number one, and I'll talk about that in just a minute because that'll kill you right from the start. Secondly, and this is the biggest one of all, they're not presented properly. There is an exact, precise way to present them, and if you do it, I literally guarantee you will be overwhelmed with responses. But most churches don't do this, and I'll tell you what that is in a few minutes. And then also, too, if your follow-up is ineffective, and this especially applies to your regular attenders, if your follow-up is ineffective or non-existent, word gets around quickly. And if you don't take them seriously, your people won't. So those are the three top reasons. Now, let me go ahead and jump into the wrong format, and then you can ask me some questions on that, and then I'll go into the presentation and the others. There are some formats that you will not get as good a return. Number one, and I know, be prepared, some of you that are listening, this is going to hurt your feelings, and I feel bad, but the number one thing that does not work today are the friendship pads. And these are the ones that probably a number of your churches are still using, where you have a pad that you pass down the aisle, and at some point in the service, the pastor says, would you please pass this down the aisle? We'd like visitors to fill in their information. And by the way, when you pass it back, please notice who's sitting beside you. Now, that was great 30 years ago when America, or wherever you're doing it, was still safe and people could trust their neighbors and all of that. But it isn't today. People's privacy concerns are huge, and maybe because I work with single adults so much, but to ask a single lady in your church, who is a visitor, total stranger, to write down her name, her address, her email, and her phone number, and pass it down a row of strangers, I mean, she's not going to do it. And so, you know, nobody's going to do that today. I mean, you know, privacy concerns are just huge. So that's one of the key things that's a killer. You know,
and I would think also in that particular case, if somebody was staying in a shelter where they're not permitted to give out an address.
Oh, yeah.
We had some people visiting our congregation that I, as pastor, knew that they were in a they were fleeing domestic violence situations.
Exactly.
So they were in a shelter in our town, and nobody was to know where they were to be.
Exactly.
So I can see that.
Yeah, yeah, that's just huge, and it's. I mean, I've had people get so upset with me in my seminars when I talk about that, but then when they think about it, they go, "Yeah, you're probably right," you know. And it's just huge. And again, the privacy things where we're told to be so careful with everything else, but then you know, and two, sadly, churches are not trusted today. It's a tragic thing, but they don't have the trust factor that they had many years ago. So that's number one. The second one that does not work, and this one, the first one people go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. This one is a lot trickier, so bear with me while I explain this. And that is, I do not recommend the tear-off visitor type thing. Now, I find more and more churches are doing this. It's part of their bulletin because it's really easy to produce. You don't have to stuff it in later. Just production-wise, it seems like it makes a lot of sense. But it is not as effective for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you just focus on the visitors, where at one point in the service, whoever's speaking says, would the visitors please tear off this sheet and fill it out and we'll turn it in later, whatever. You do not, sometimes just sit there and just rip a piece of paper. You do not want to be the one person in your row ripping paper. It's just noisy. And study after study shows visitors do not like to stand out. So you don't want to be the one person in your row ripping off this piece of paper. So it's funny little things like this that make a huge difference. Now, then some churches, they say, let's everybody rip it off together. Now, that seems like a good idea, and that can work, except a number of months ago, there was a lady at our church, and bless her heart, she'd become a believer in her later 60s, and she came to church with us, and she was sitting several people down from me, and I was kind of watching her out of the corner of my eye. And as the pastor said that, and I could see her sort of trying to do it, trying to grasp the paper, and she just couldn't quite do it, and trying again. And she had really bad arthritis in her hands. And she just wasn't able to get a hold of that flimsy paper to do that. And I saw her kind of look around in sort of an embarrassed way and set it down beside her. And she didn't ever tell me why later, but she didn't want to come back to church anymore. And it just broke my heart. And I thought, you know, she's not the only little old lady who maybe can't do that. And so I just think, you know, from the Lord saying we're supposed to treat people as, we always think of the least of these. And I thought, if a dear little old lady can't do that, there may be people in all sorts of situations who literally physically can't rip off that paper. So the obvious solution is to start out with the number one thing to get the greatest number of responses is have a separate card that's on heavy enough cardstock that you can put it on your knee if you don't have a Bible or whatever and write on it. That's number one.
The when it comes to the you mentioned also not only wrong format, but you'd also mentioned something about ineffective presentation. What do you mean by that?
Oh, this is huge. This is number one, the most important thing. What many churches do, I would probably say 90% of the churches, because I visit a lot of churches and stuff like that also, is they may do just everything that I've said. They have a cardstock, and it's matte, and it's easy to write on, and, you know, all this sort of thing. But then how you present it. Typically, it's presented early in the service. For example, everybody's been standing up singing some songs or whatever. And then pastor says something like, oh, you know, we really want to welcome the visitors, and be sure you fill out the visitor's card, and whatever they say next, there can be all sorts of things. Taking it to the visitor center is a total mistake, but I'll get into that later. But they'll say, you know, whatever they say, they'll mention that you ought to fill it out, and we'd love to know you're there, and whatever. And then they'll go right into the next song. Well, you might think, well, what's wrong with that? They announced it. They made it clear. They blah, blah, blah. Well, when are people supposed to fill it out? Do they sit down immediately and ignore the next song? Do they not listen to the sermon and fill out their little card? Do they, while communion's being passed, do they hold the elements in one hand and scribble with the other? You see, you set people up in a no-win situation, and they don't, as visitors, they don't care if you get the information or not. You know, it's no priority to them. So they're not going to make a little mental note, oh, yes, later in the service I have to do this. Chances are they just won't do it. So the way, and this works extraordinarily well,
Before you get in the way, let me back up and ask one more question. Let's keep that as a teaser for the next section.
Sounds good, because, let me tell you, it's a good one.
you stress also with these are important, and one of the ways that churches are having difficulties with them is just a lack of uncertain or ineffective follow-up. Can you say a little bit more about what you mean by that, and how does that hinder the success of these connection cards?
If your church is cynical about them, even if you follow the plans that I tell you to on getting people to fill them out, visitors will look around and they'll notice nobody who attends regularly fills them out, so they won't be as motivated to fill them out. The way a church becomes cynical is if your card has prayer requests, where people want to sign up to volunteer for something, you know, all these kinds of things that we put on a card. If you have those things and then you don't respond, people will look at them and on Sunday go, well, yeah, you know, I told them my prayer request last week. Nobody got back to me. I told them I need to follow up on this. Nobody got back to me. I said I wanted to sign up for the pastor's prayer team 5 months ago, and I still haven't heard from them. Said I'd volunteer for whatever, and nobody's called me yet. And you see, that can really be toxic and can kind of poison the whole group, where everybody's just kind of sitting there looking at them, and nobody's filling them out because they know if they do, they won't get any response.
And so once a church gets a reputation of a lack of response from the administrative side, then people are less motivated to fill them out and use them for what you desire them to be used for.
Exactly. Yep.
Uh-huh. Well, I think then in terms of probably the greatest solution that people are looking for is how to get them filled out. But before we actually get to that point, one of the questions that I want to ask you is in terms of design as to what information do you want to capture? The reason that I ask the question is that I have seen some connection cards that look like census forms. Mm-hmm. They want so much information. And in wanting so much information, they want to know the names and ages of my kids. They want to know my birth date, and I'm the first-time visitor. Mm-hmm. If I turn in this card, does that mean somebody's going to show up at my house? Is this a license to visit? How much information do we need to collect at this point of contact?
Okay, there's a number of different ways to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
First off, let me speak directly to something that you sort of said in passing, but that's really important that I encourage people to do today. You said, is this a license for them to visit? I would, and I have an example of this in the book, I recommend putting a sort of little disclaimer or terms of service or whatever you want to call it on the cards today in small print down at the bottom, because if you are truly serious about reaching out to unchurched people, I recommend putting the same sort of thing that they would see on any website that asks for information. Which
like
says
a privacy statement.
Pardon me?
Like a privacy statement.
Exactly.
Almost.
You know, just, you know, this will, you know, we won't come to your house unless we make a call first. This information will be used only by the church office. It will not be shared, sold, whatever. I mean, you know, the church people know it, but a visitor doesn't. And you say those kinds of things, and also, should you desire to be taken off at any time for any reason, simply contact the church office, and you will be removed from the list.
Okay.
You know, so some sort of a little thing like that, I think, is a really good thing up front.
And you have samples of that in your book. I saw that this afternoon.
Yeah, I do that, because we found in working with unchurched single adults from Southern California, that was very important to have. So do that. Now, as to the amount of information, now, we've done different things, and different churches do different things. When we have done it with a house church, a smaller church, a specific ministry, basically all we ask for is name, email, prayer request. That's it. And there's some samples of very simple ones. And I think we actually did a cell phone number, too, because some people would rather communicate via their cell phone than email, so that's fine. But that's pretty much it for a single one. Now, on the ones that have a lot of information, it's like anything else. You know, some people a lot of times say, you know, the bulletin has too much, or the this or the that has too much. And I go, no, not necessarily. The key to making a lot of information effective is having it organized in such a way so that people can go directly to what's important to them. And you might even have it divided, you know, this is the information we'd love to get from you if you're a visitor. Then, church members, if you need more information on the upcoming this, the that, the other, where it is, where it functions really as the communication connection between the members and the church office, and they know that it's going to be followed through on, and you have very clear sections, children's, men's ministry, women's, whatever, then you can get away with more because the people that it applies to will just go directly to that. The visitors know all I have to deal with is this. So, you see, it really depends on your purpose and how clear you are and your procedures for using it instead of just sort of an objective, don't do this, you know, only this works. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I mean, to me, it does, and I hope that it would make sense to the number of people that are listening to us. The question that comes to, or actually, as I was looking at your book today, you actually have a gallery of samples,
uh-huh.
And in that gallery of samples, there are some that almost seem like a survey form that take up half of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
Yeah.
But I think your comment in terms of being able to kind of segregate in terms of little blocks in your how things are laid out, that seems to be a way to maybe help navigate some of that, kind of asking for too much information.
Yeah, and by the way, most of the ones that I have in there come from very successful churches. So, you know, again, there's not an objective either or, you know, or this always works. A lot of it depends on your congregation. And two, one thing that I don't hit on it as much in this book as I do in, actually, there's a video on my website that goes into this in more detail, but I constantly tell churches, test and record. Try one system, see if you're getting a response that way. Try another, see if you're getting a response there. Every congregation's different. It's astounding to me how different churches respond in different ways. And so the best way to know what works for your church is try one method, see how, you know, see what kind of a response you get, try another method, see if that works better or worse, record, and then make your decisions based on that.
Now, since we're talking some about the format and how much information to get, is it really important to make it look really pretty and have a graphic designer do the card?
Oh, no. Good grief. No. Looks are of the least importance, and this is across the board, and I know not everybody agrees with me on this, but a lot of people do, and I have personally seen churches experience tremendous growth when they do basically do what I tell them to. Looks are the least important thing. People do not judge a church based on what their printed material looks like. I mean, that people do not go to a church and go, oh, you know, the white space, that's what...
Too much white space, the layout, the copywriting.
Yeah. No, that just isn't it. It's, I mean, you can tell if you know, someone's talking about these things from the front, if they really want you to respond. And if they come, you know, if they reach back and email, letter, phone call, whatever, the following week, and it's genuine and it's real... these are the sorts of things that mean a tremendous amount to people. Not, you know, not what it looks like, especially on something that you're just going to turn in, for goodness sakes.
Right.
So,
it's not a souvenir piece. So
no, not at all.
It's a connection piece. So
yeah.
It just has to be simple and simple enough to be filled out.
Right.
You had a real practical tip in your book that, you know, glossy paper, people can't write on with pencils and pens very well.
No, they can't, and
so,
which is absolutely hysterical.
Better.
Yeah.
Now, to kind of keep our show moving along here, I now want to get into the section in terms of how do we get the greatest response rate? What's kind of the steps that you've put in your book to increase the number of cards that get turned in? What's the way that works? Help us out here.
Yeah, this is really important. And in the book, I actually have a script and all this kind of stuff. Okay, this is flawless. I mean, and it works incredibly well. Okay, and now, by the way, I apologize up front for those of you that are in liturgical churches because you have a set format and you will need to modify this somewhat. I'm speaking now primarily to churches that don't have an exact liturgy, so you have a little bit of flexibility. But here's what works. is you sing your initial songs or whatever, and then everybody is sitting down. This is very important. They're sitting down, and they have something accessible, pencils, pens, whatever, in the pew racks to write with. Either the pastor or the worship leader gets up and says, you know, like, love to welcome you folks. Now, would everybody, the emphasis on everybody, and you've trained your people in membership classes, you respond to the cards and whatever, would you all please take out your connection card? Now, you can call it whatever you want to. I call them connection cards for the book, but one that I've been calling, the ones that I've been creating lately, I've been calling them feedback cards. Because feedback is a really big deal in our society today. You know, CNN, everything, give us your feedback, give us your feedback. So let's call it a feedback card for this exercise. Would everybody please take out your feedback card? Now, if you're a visitor, all you need to do is just give us your name and some contact information. We'd love to get back to you. And by the way, you know, this is safe and secure. We're not going to sell your name or do anything like that with it. But also, we really want your feedback. If you have a prayer request, if at any time during the service you don't like something that we do, you have a question about it, if there's any way we can help you on your spiritual journey, we want to know about it. Let's just take a minute here and fill out our basic information for all the members. We're also using this as our attendance, so if you'd please do that. And everybody, fill out your prayer request for the week. And by the way, while you're doing it, I'm going to fill out mine. Now, what happens next is the hardest thing that you will do all week spiritually. It'll be harder than preaching a sermon. It will be, I mean, I cannot, if you haven't done this, you have no idea the spiritual warfare that goes on. But the thing that you have to do next is you have to be quiet. You have to pause. You have to look down and scribble on that piece of paper and give people time to fill it out. That's the key right there. And it takes less than 60 seconds. It will seem like an absolute eternity. But you do that, and then visitors are sitting there, and they want to fit in. And they're seeing everybody else is doing this, and they're thinking, well, maybe I ought to do it, you know. So chances are they'll pull it out, and they'll do it also. And then after, you know, and again, 60 seconds is a huge amount of time. You do that, then you say, thanks so much, folks. Again, hold on to that. We'll collect them at the end of the service. And really appreciate you sharing with us. Then you go through the service, because we're not done with the important part. You go all the way through the service. Then after the sermon is preached, please do not take these up before the sermon. That is just the goofiest thing in the world. But after the sermon is preached, again, pastor stands up and says, folks, you've heard the message today. Now, I'd like all of you to take out your feedback card. Once again, maybe there's a decision you made today. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you'd like to explore what we've talked about in more detail. Whatever it is, we want to know about it. Now, take a minute or so to fill it out. The ushers are going to be coming around in just a few minutes to take up the offering. If you're a visitor here, we do not want any money from you. The only contribution we want from you is that connection card. Now, you do that, and let me warn you, you better be prepared. You will be absolutely overwhelmed with the response that you'll get. So that's it.
I mean, it seems so remarkably simple.
Yeah, it is.
But I think, having been a worship leader myself, that 60 seconds pause does feel a little uncomfortable being up there up front looking at people.
It's brutal. It's hugely uncomfortable. You just think you're going to die. I'm not kidding. I think all the forces of heaven and hell you can almost feel the wrestling. You know, I don't want to make it over dramatic, but I mean, it really, I mean, that can be somebody's, that can change an eternity for someone. I mean, it's huge.
It can.
You know, it's absolutely huge, because if you allow people to do that, and like I say, we have done this, the responses that you get will rip your heart out.
Mm-hmm. I do know that, I mean, one of the other popular books on the market on visitor assimilation really is all based around this connection card and making sure that during the service, the entire congregation has the opportunity to and the moment and the timing and the directions to fill it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for long-term members, it's like, why do I have to fill this out every week? How do you pitch the vision so that your long-term members who are hesitant for the whole idea still cooperate and fill out their response card every week?
There's a couple of things on that. Number one, you literally make that part of the DNA of the church. When you do your membership classes and things like that, you make it very clear to people, we're going to fill this out every week. Now, whether you feel like it or not, we really ask you to do this as a witness to the person sitting next to you who may not be a member. So please do this every week. And also, too, some churches do very much use it as a way of keeping track of their members, taking roll, et cetera. So that's important. But even more than that, the thing that will really keep regular attenders doing it is if you properly handle prayer requests. And that's a whole other issue that I could either get into now or later. But if the people in your church know that genuinely their prayer requests are solicited and that they will be prayed for and responded to, they are then highly motivated to share in that way. And again, I've seen that work really well.
Well, it seems that not only is built into your DNA, but if they learn that there's a response on the other side, that
exactly.
If people are turning in their volunteer request, if saying, yes, I'll volunteer for this ministry, if people are turning in their prayer requests, and that kind of connection happens. So it's more than just an address update when somebody moves.
Right.
It can be a way for your long-term members to communicate with the office staff. Now, you had said something earlier that I want to bring back up here was you said that a way that doesn't work is by asking people to take their visitor card to the visitor center to receive a little thank you for showing up gift.
Yeah.
Why do you see that doesn't work well in comparison to the model that you've just given us?
Oh, a bazillion reasons. Several of them. let me break it down a little bit more. First of all, just the busyness of life. If you are a new person and you've dropped your child off at this nursery that you don't know anything about, and you have a feeling they're screaming because mommy's not there, stopping by the visitor center is not on your priority list. If you're just hungry and want to get to brunch, it isn't on your priority list. Two, most church visitor centers, and I write about this in a lot of other things that I've done, most church visitor centers, they're terrible. I don't know how else to say it. You know, they're staffed by either cranky people or people who would much rather gossip with their friend than pay attention to a visitor. And you know, there's just all sorts of things going on there. So there's just a lot of practical stuff, too. And also, if you're a large church and say you have 50 visitors a week, or a church of maybe 1,000, 50 is not uncommon, are all 50 of them going to line up and wait for each other? I mean, just the logistics of it doesn't make any sense at all if you really think it through. But the other thing, and I hate to sound cynical, but, you know, if I'm a church visitor, you know, is a tape of a sermon something like, wow, I really want to get it? I mean, let's get real.
I don't even have a tape player, so I don't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, or, you know, whatever it happens to be, you know, a mug from the church, or we have this little special gift for you. You know, most visitors are not really that excited about it. Now, I went to this one church where I have to admit their worship leader was, I live here in Southern California, their worship leader was one of the songwriters for Disney. And they happened to say that if you went to the worship to the visitor center, you got one of his CDs. Now that one worked, but there aren't, you know, it's just not a good idea. Also, too, whenever a visitor has to take an extra step, even to the point, and I've seen churches that have had their response drop from a lot to zero by just putting the cards in the pew rack instead of the bulletin. Anything that a visitor has to do to take an extra step, they won't do it. And then there's a third reason why what I recommend with putting them in the offering is so important, and that is they have something to put in the offering. And it's a real motivation because they don't want to, you know, visitors, they don't want to give you any money, but they feel like they may have to dig up a dollar or whatever, and they don't really want to do that, and that's kind of irritating. But if they have this little card, they're kind of slipping something into the offering, and so it's also a positive motivation for them to turn it in that way.
Well, that's helpful. One of the other things that you said is that, okay, once you've collected up on these offerings, that we need to be prepared. And
okay.
So kind of what do you mean by that? What are the ways that we need to be prepared? And then once we get these cards, what do we do with them?
Okay.
Because if we're at a church of 100 people, we got 100 cards every week, or if we're at a church of 1,000 people, gosh, I can't. I'm already thinking the administrative challenges that might present. So what do you mean by be prepared, and then what do we do with it once we have them?
Okay, this is huge. This is really huge, and this is not a minor ministry. You know, it's one of those things that is often relegated to, oh, you know, when we get around to it. And I am fully convinced from what I have seen in my own ministry life and in other churches that I've worked with, that if you do focus on this, again, like I said, for church planters, please, you know, if any church planters are listening or if you know someone who's a church planter, if you do this, you will grow your church. You don't need to spend money. You don't need fancy things. You will grow your church. But on preparation, you need to do a number of things, and I go into detail on these in the book. First of all, you have to have all of your resources ready because people will contact you. If you ask for them to contact you and you position yourself as a church that can help them, you need to have resources ready in all of, I break it down into different areas, in the social service areas. You talked about the woman who was in the domestic violence program. You may have someone coming to your church on Sunday morning who has just been beaten up, and she's going to tell you that on the card. You better know where a center is that she can go. You may have people that have decided they want to get sober. You may have people, and particularly today, who need help with utilities, food, housing, all these kinds of things. You've got to have all of those resources in place, and I have sort of a little checklist in the book. You know, these are all of the resources you have got to have in place. And then also, too, you need people who are spiritually trained to respond. I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend the Stevens Ministry, that churches have people go through that, because the senior pastor will be, of course, the person to respond to certain things, but many of the pastoral concerns, he or she does not have time to follow up on every single one of them. But people need more than just a phone call saying, "Hi, so glad you visited the church." You know, they need more than that. So having people prepared in Stephen's ministry. So you have these resources in place, and then I have a procedure that I call the triage system. And this comes from the whole medical and war terminology of then when you get in a huge and unmanageable group of casualties, how do you sort them? How do you prioritize them? And you have red, which means immediate care needed or the person will die. Yellow, they need serious help. And then green can be attended to, kind of the walking wounded. And I strongly recommend, if at all possible, that you have someone in the church who screens the cards immediately after they're collected. You will get people who are going to leave the church and threaten to kill themselves. You will. You will have people in extreme crisis. So that's the red, and you want to respond to that. Then there are other people who maybe literally every week that we were at this large church that we had the large singles ministry, and I always check this with my husband to make sure I'm not exaggerating, we would get at least one card that said, "I've been married 20, 30 years. My spouse just walked out on me. I don't know what to do." Now, they're probably not suicidal, but they need a phone call on Monday or Tuesday. So, you know, those are the ones that are yellow. And then the green, those are just the, you know, change of address and responding to this and responding to that. And also, I forgot one other thing that you have to have in place. I strongly recommend for all of the different ministry areas that you have a packet and also an electronic file that can, you know, if someone's interested in children's ministry, you better send them something that week that tells them about children's ministry. You know, don't just let that hang. So you have to have these things in place, and then you have to sort them and respond appropriately. I know that's huge, but, you know, nothing's worse than asking people to pour out their hearts or tell you something, and then you ignore them. That's the killer.
No, I think that I mean, one of the things that I've seen in my other lines of business is that sometimes we can work so hard at getting prepared that we actually never implement anything because
mm-hmm.
we never feel like we're prepared enough.
Right.
And so one of the things that I found helpful with your book is that you've got a good starting checklist that would give enough to people to go ahead and get started with revamping their connection card program. So it's not like they've got to go and reinvent the wheel entirely. And then as additional situations unfold, they can continue to add to that resource list. Whoops, we've never had anyone who, you know, in our congregation, for example, whoops, we've never had a unwed pregnant teen that just confessed, that just shared this on a card. What do we need to do?
Exactly.
So let's respond, but let's add that to the list so that, you know, the next time something like this happens, we kind of know what our response procedure would be for that particular situation.
Exactly. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. you were doing well. I finished my point.
Well, you know, the thing is, and again, you know, none of this is really very hard. It really isn't. It's not deep theology. You know, it's not rocket science. It's just you have a little, you know, get one of those little box things from Office Depot or whatever, and you have a little packet of stuff on, you know, what to do if people need financial assistance, and you have another little cubbyhole of this is a packet that you send to people mm-hmm. if they want to, you know, they've got troubles going on with their teenagers, or, I mean, there's tons of resources out there, and in fact, I tell people for probably 99% of the social service things, chances are either your county or your city already has all sorts of resources. You just get that list, put it in a form from the church, and sometimes people don't need a whole lot, but they need to know somebody's on the other end and they're listening, and they can maybe help point them in the right direction.
In looking at our time, we've got about 10 minutes left. I would like to be able to leave some room for some questions, but
yeah.
One thing that that does come back to me is another common question that my audience asks is, okay, now that we've got the information, what should be one of the first, second, or third things that we've gotten the information, we've sorted them out in your triage model. What is the first or second thing that should be done for our first-time visitors? And you elaborate on some of this in the book, and I really like the one about meeting the pastor on Thursdays.
Yeah, oh, isn't that cool thing? This was Latte with the Pastor. This is my all-time favorite. Where and this was a church in Canada did this, where they sent out, you know, the typical, you need some kind of welcome letter, and in the book I have examples and what to say and all this kind of stuff. Just be honest, don't lie, don't exaggerate, and don't use a pre-printed signature, you know, on that. But in this one, in addition, they had a couple of coupons for two free lattes, and they said, now you can use these at any time at your local Tim Hortons. However, we would invite you to come down on Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4 o'clock and have Latte with the Pastor. And if you come down then, you can ask any question you want about the Christian faith. Isn't that, I just love that. Just love it.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that letter should go out probably on Monday or Tuesday.
Exactly.
Presumably. And then some churches actually are sending out emails that Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Thanks for coming emails. I was talking with one person on Twitter this week. What he received was, thank you email Sunday afternoon, and then by Tuesday he actually received a $5 gift certificate at Starbucks for his next cup of coffee or his next expensive cup of coffee.
Oh, let me know where that church is. Hey,
but
yeah,
it's the same idea. I mean, assimilation processes are so wide and so varied
mm-hmm.
That it's kind of hard to peg down what is the best. But a good common practice is that I've been seeing in the material recently is all about an email follow-up that says, hey, thanks for coming,
mm-hmm.
that is customized to somewhat of what information is on the visitor card. I mean, if they're an out-of-town person from another state, you don't want to say, come back next week.
Right.
Unless, you know, and you give a good example of that, of suggesting instead that maybe, you know, if the visitor, the person who's processing the card notices this, then maybe they get a custom letter that says, hey, if you're looking at moving to this town, you know, we invite you to find out some more information, but otherwise we're glad that you were here with us, and next time you're here, consider this a home away from home.
You got it. So yeah.
It's not a standard form letter. There is a little bit of tweaking for some certain cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are several people that are still in our chat room that are still listening online via the various things. And while I realize that nobody's asked me a question yet, I also realize that we haven't stopped long enough to tell people how do they ask a question.
Yeah.
And so what I will do is let me give you the instructions. If you do have a question that you want to ask, here are a couple of options. If you're listening by telephone, all you've got to do is press 1, and that will raise your hand, so to speak, on my switchboard. If you are listening by the computer, you should have on your screen, if you're at the Blog Talk Radio website, a click to talk button that will also raise your hand on my switchboard. And then finally, if you're actually in the chat room, there are about 12 people or so in the chat room at the moment, you can actually ask your question there. So I do want to invite you, if you want to ask Yvonne any questions, I certainly want to welcome you to do so. But if nobody chimes in with a question, I certainly want to go on to one or two more topics in the remaining 10 minutes that we have left. I don't see any at the moment, so I'm not going to wait long enough. I don't want to wait 60 seconds.
Oh, no, you don't need to wait. Folks, just text it in, and then that way Chris won't have to wait. So, just write it down, and then he can ask it, and that'll be cool.
Because the chat room is there. Now, what are some other fun ways that you have seen churches respond to the connection cards that get filled in?
Well, one of them, this is so cute, a church in Hershey, Pennsylvania, they filled up a mug with Hershey's Kisses, and then they actually delivered it to visitors, and they called it their Mugs and Kisses, which I thought was pretty cute.
I got mugged.
Yeah, I got mugged, but with the Hershey's Kisses. You can also, too, M&M's makes personalized M&M's. And you could give people a bag of M&M's from your church. I mean, chocolate always works. That's always a fun thing. And then there's this really neat group, Christian Tools of Affirmation. They a lovely Christian company, and they will do all sorts of mugs and keychains and all those sorts of things that can be personalized from your church. So really the sky's the limit. Whatever is appropriate in your cultural setting, whatever people like, anything that you can do to have people remember about your church works just really well. So fun stuff.
You've got a good number of suggestions there in your book. I've got a couple on my website at evangelismcoach.org, all connected with visitor packets and various things that you can slip into a packet that's kind of those marketing giveaways.
Yeah.
With pencils or magnets or such things.
One thing on the visitor packets, let me just say from the production standpoint, for people, to make your life a whole lot easier is to do them. I've seen, and actually we've done this in a number of some large churches we served at, where you give out actually an envelope that you can put in brochures and stuff like that from different ministries. That's so much better than those little folder things that sometimes people just about kill themselves doing. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about, the little stacked pieces of paper that are little graduated sizes and all that. That's killer.
They're a nice presentation, but when you have 100 of them every week, it's an assembly nightmare.
Oh, it is, and every church secretary that's listening can identify with this. They will be outdated the minute you get it finished.
And I've done several trade shows, so I know what that's like.
Yeah, it's just awful.
We've got just a couple of minutes left. What I'd like to do is if you can explain to people who are still with us, how do they get a copy of your book?
Sure, really super easy. You just can go to my online storefront. It's www.lulu, that's L-U-L-U, .com/Yvonne Prehn. And it's just Y, V as in Victor, O-N, P as in Paul, R as in Richard, E-H-N. Now, if you forget that, or if you want to check out what the book's like, you can go to my website, which is just www.effectivechurchcom.com, and I actually have a number of excerpts from the book on the website, and then on the website you can link directly to my storefront. So it's cheap, $7.50 download. It's an ebook, 88 pages, and just a ton of stuff in there for you. So check it out. And if you have any questions, just email me, YvonnePrint at AOL.com.
Now, for those who are able to see the chat room window, I put the web addresses that you just gave me for both your website and for your book directly. Your website actually has a lot of good resources for those who are involved in church communications, and I've watched a couple of the videos. You've got a YouTube channel that's got a stack of videos in it.
Yeah. And Tangle so channel.
Oh, and a Tangle channel too. Okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so, I mean, you've got a lot of good stuff out there, and you're easily reachable, as I discovered.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's been good as well. My stuff for the audience, I've got my own book at www.welcomechurchvisitors.com, which is all about first impressions ministry and making that good first impression. And so that's available as well for instant download. And I want to give one last call for questions. If you have a question that you want to ask Yvonne in the remaining 3 minutes of our show, here's how to do it. You can either use the Click to Talk button if you're at the Blog Talk Radio screen. You can use the chat room and text in your question there, and I can go ahead and send it on to Yvonne. Or if you are already listening in by telephone only, you just simply need to press the number 1 to raise your hand, and any of these I will see on the moderator's screen. Now, Yvonne, while we're waiting for any of these questions, if people have them that they want to ask, a question that comes to my mind is just, can you describe a little bit of your ministry context there in Southern California?
Oh, you mean my
just a little bit more about you.
A little bit more about me? Yeah, well, my whole passion is just to help church communicators communicate more effectively. And I work a lot, probably my primary area of calling is with smaller churches that don't have a lot of money. I'm kind of known as the lady that can tell you how to do stuff really cheap and easy. I do my current seminar, and I'm getting ready to do a couple of them here in Southern California, in Ventura, California, and in Pismo Beach, California. It's entitled You Can Do It, and I teach people how to do websites, podcasts, publications, how to get really great graphics and all sorts of stuff like that, either completely for free or for very low cost. And that's my passion, is just to really help churches communicate effectively and not have to spend a pile of money doing it. So.
All right, we did get one question texted in, and we've got 2 minutes, and I don't know if we're going to be automatically cut off, so you'll have to make your answer pretty quick. Paula writes that she's curious if you feel that there should be one contact for all the check boxes, or if individual ministries should contact the guests. So I would imagine that if somebody says, I'm interested in men's ministry, should it be the central contact person or the men's ministry leader?
Realistically, I'm saying this from someone who's worked in the church setting for many, many years, I recommend that the ministry people have prepared information that one central person gives out. And then you can pass on the name for further follow-up. But you have got to really be careful that person does follow up. This is a place where stuff really falls down. That's why, for example, say the men's ministry. You have a packet in the church office that you either send out or email out that gives the overall stuff on the men's ministry, and so they feel like they've gotten an answer. Then you pass on the name, but you don't tell them you've passed on the name, because chances are the guy that's in charge of the men's ministry may or may not get around to answering them. Now, you know, I hate to sound cynical, but I know what life is really like. You really encourage that person to do that. Then if they get another contact, they're pleasantly surprised, and that's wonderful. But at least they've been touched by the church on that thing that they wanted to know about.
Okay. Well, that answers the question, and I see my clock clicking down pretty rapidly here. So for those who are still here, I have no idea if if we're going to be cut off here in a minute. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I want to thank you all for spending the time with us here this afternoon. A replay will be available on our websites in portions. In my case, sometime over the next week or so, and Yvonne may be able to make it work on her website faster than I will, but we'll try to get it out there. Thanks all for joining. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Let's see here.